Thank you, Brother Derek. Good morning, brethren. Jean Dobre and Pache. And there was one more, I forgot it. Our subject this morning is cosmology and the Big Bang Theory. For our opening statement, we welcome any suggestions or corrections. This script is not cast in stone. I'd also like to mention that when you research something, you try to be as accurate as possible, but sometimes we appreciate whatever comments or suggestions the brethren have. We mentioned our subject will be cosmology and the Big Bang Theory. For definitions, cosmos is an orderly, harmonious, systematic universe. Cosmology is a branch of metaphysics that deals with the universe as an orderly system. A branch of astronomy that deals with the origin, structure, and the space-time relationships of the universe. For our introduction, for since the creation of the world, his invisible attributes, his eternal power and divine nature have been clearly seen, being understood through what has been made. Romans chapter 1, verse 20. The heavens are telling of the glory of God, and their expanse is declaring the works of his hands. And we're going to consider how God stretched out the heavens with one hand and then later with two hands. For our table of contents, we have three parts to our presentation. Part one will be the invisible world. And first we're going to consider God, the Logos, Lucifer, angels, and approximately 15 billion years ago. We don't know what preceded the creation of the universe. We have no clues as to how long the spirit beings lived before the creation of the universe. Our second part will consist of the visible world, and this will be the scientific approach. We're going to consider the creation of the universe, Genesis 1, verses 1 and 2, the development of science, and last will be the Big Bang Theory. Our third part of the program will be the visible scriptural approach, and we will consider Genesis chapter 1, verse 3, and God of design, and also the examination of the scriptural Big Bang Theory. What we'd like to do today is to expand your minds, your mental and scriptural horizons. If you could picture yourself in that little bowl as a goldfish, we'd like to take you out of that goldfish and look out over the sea, and we're going to look into the heavens. So what we're trying to do is to expand your mental horizon. Our first consideration is the invisible world. We are told in Exodus chapter 3, verses 14 to 15, that God is the self-existing one. The Logos is a God, and that would be covered in John 1:1. Not the God, but a God. The next consideration would be that the Logos is the only begotten of God, and this is covered in Revelation chapter 3, verse 14, and also Colossians chapter 1, verse 15. The Logos is also considered the master craftsman, the master workman, covered in Proverbs chapter 8, verse 30. And Lucifer is the son of the morning, recorded for us in Isaiah chapter 14, verse 12. And all of the angels were created by the Logos, Colossians 1, 16. And we're going to use approximately 15 billion years ago. Now we're going to consider the invisible world, and we're going to consider God. God has no beginning or end. His name is Yahweh. That would be according to the Hebrew, YHWH. And we're told that my name is Jehovah, and JHVH. That would be for all the Gentiles. And Haya, HAYAH, that means to be. And God will be what he wants to be in each age or dispensation. If you recall the chart, God is a different type of God in each age. Then we're also told that I am the self-existing one. And God is the God of Genesis is the Elohim. And this is covered in the Bible Companion, Appendix 4. Then we're also told that El Elyon is the Creator. And this is covered for us in Genesis chapter 14, verses 18 to 20 and verse 22. Our next consideration is the Logos. This is God's only direct creation, and recorded for us in Revelation 3:14. He is the beginning of all of God's creative works. He's the firstborn of all creation, recorded in Colossians 1:15. And I'd also like to say that we measure time. We measure time from the creation of the Logos. And this is also true in Proverbs 8:22-30, where we have the beginning of time from the creation of the Logos. And we also have the archangel. And the archangel, the Logos, is a cherub. And this is recorded for us in Revelation 22:16. Our next consideration is Lucifer. Lucifer is referred to as a morning star, recorded in Isaiah 14:12. And Lucifer means morning star. And Lucifer was also a cherub, and that would be a prominent position when he was the guardian angel in Ezekiel 28:16 of the guardian angel of in Genesis. Our next consideration is the angels. We only know three names of the angels. One would be Michael, and that would be the archangel Logos. And we have Lucifer, who would be a morning star. And we also have Gabriel. Now we're going to consider the invisible world organizational chart. On our chart, God is at the top. And we are told, in my Father's house are many mansions, recorded for us in John chapter 14, verse 2. The Logos was the direct creation of God, and Lucifer was created by the Logos, and these were cherubims, morning stars. Next, we come to the highest order of angels, and we believe that to be the cherubim. And you recall that in the tabernacle, you have two cherubims over the mercy seat, and one would represent love, and the other would be power. Next, we have seraphim, thrones, dominions, rulers, authorities, principalities, and powers. So the question would come to our minds, how many angels are there? Our guess would be that there's billions upon billions. We are told in Hebrews 12:22 that there are myriads. We're told in Jude 14 that there are 10,000s. And we're also told in Revelation 5:11 that there's myriads of myriads, thousands of thousands. And this is not on the screen, but in Daniel 7:10, it says thousands upon thousands, myriads upon myriads. He counts the number of stars. He gives names to all of them. Great is our Lord and abundant in strength. His understanding is infinite, recorded in Psalms 147, verses 4 to 5. Next, we have a picture of the infinite number of stars. You only see the bright stars right here, but if we were to illuminate or magnify the screen, the whole screen would be filled with little dots of thousands and thousands of stars. So we feel that if God calls all the stars by name, we feel there must be billions upon billions of spirit beings. Next, we're going to consider the visible world, the scientific approach. Scientific cosmology has three theories for the origin of the universe. Number one, someone created the universe. That would be an intelligent design. The second would be that the universe always existed. Three, the universe created itself, and that would be random design. When Edwin Hubble, in 1929, he proved, and we're going to illustrate this very thoroughly, that the universe is constantly expanding, and this proves that there is a creator, or a prime mover, or some intelligent source in the universe. And since the days of Edwin Hubble, there are few scientists that are atheists. And the last would be that the universe always existed. So you'll notice that two of those disappear, and the definition of the universe that we would want was that someone created the universe, an intelligent design. Our next consideration is Ptolemy, and he lived from 90 to 168 A.D., and he mentioned that the sun revolves around the earth. And this held sway for a long, long time. Our next individual is Copernicus. And he lived from 1473 to 1543. So you could see that this is a very, very long time span. And he mentioned that the sun is the center of our planetary system. And by the threat of excommunication, if he pushed this thought, so the Catholic Church really suppressed Copernicus. It's interesting to note when the Pope came to Chicago, he apologized to the world that they made a mistake concerning Copernicus, and the first place that he wanted to visit was the Copernicus Center. It's in a Polish area in Chicago. And he admitted that the Catholic Church was wrong. Our next individual is Galileo, and he lived from 1564 to 1642. And he confirmed that Copernicus was right, and he helped modernize the telescope. And he was the first man to see the heavens through a telescope. He observed the planets, Venus, Jupiter, and countless number of stars in the Milky Way. And he observed sunspots, and he concluded that the sun rotates. Our next consideration is Sir Isaac Newton, who lived from 1642 to 1727. He developed the laws of gravity and discovered the visible light spectrum, which laid the foundation for future telescopic study. And he also believed in long creative days. Our next individual will be Albert Einstein, and he lived from 1879 to 1955. And he discovered one of the power equations of the universe, and that would be E equals mc squared. And that means energy equals mass times light squared. Einstein was so impressed that he found this particular formula that he went to all of the rabbis and all the theologians, and he asked, why does a great God permit evil? And the rabbis could not answer his question, and the theologians could not answer his question. So this set him back because he was hoping to receive a very reasonable answer. Next, we see the hydrogen bomb. And Einstein, when he discovered the formula of atomic energy, as I mentioned, energy equals mass times light squared. Not only do we understand the energy of the sun and how it works, but we can duplicate its process and the power. Our next gentleman on the left is Abbé Georges Lemaître, and he lived from 1894 to 1996. He's standing with Albert Einstein, who also developed the theory of relativity. And indirectly, this theory suggested a beginning of the universe. So Lemaître was the first scientist to promote the Big Bang theory. There are different observatories from different nations, including the USA, and these observatories are on the island of Maui in Hawaii. And these observatories are high on the mountains to escape the pollution that is in the air. This observatory is on the high mountains in northern Chile. Our next gentleman is Edwin Hubble, who lived from 1889 to 1993. And the light spectrum color power shift proves the universe is expanding. And this was a fantastic discovery and revolutionized astronomy. And he established the foundation of the Big Bang Theory and established the concept of an intelligent prime mover. Our next individual is George Gamow. He lived from 1904 to 1968. He predicted infinitely hot starting conditions following by a rapid cosmic expansion. In other words, he predicted the Big Bang Theory. It's difficult to see all the details on this particular drawing, but you'll notice that the Big Bang starts at the bottom and it explodes, and it keeps expanding till we come to 15 billion years where we are living at the present time. So if you would think in terms of a balloon, you have a balloon in your mouth and you just blow it up, and it's constantly expanding. Our next consideration will show a little more detail that the universe is expanding. This would be holding like a balloon in your mouth, and when you blow it up, and it constantly keeps expanding. And scientists predicted that if this is true, in this area, about 300,000 years, there would be a great radiation belt. And then the universe would keep expanding, and finally, all of the galaxies that we see now are expanding at a fantastic, rapid rate. The two gentlemen standing here are Arnold Penzias and Robert Wilson. In the background, you see an antenna here that they developed. And when they were to start this antenna, they were receiving strange noises. So they said, let's chase all the pigeons away and clean up all the pigeon dung or poop. And much to their surprise, they still heard these strange noises. So when they traced these noises all the way back, they found the radiation belt, which would be approximately 300,000 years after the Big Bang Theory. So what they really proved was they looked for pigeon dung and they found gold by receiving the Nobel Prize. Our next consideration would be to show this is the radiation belt that they discovered. And this would be about 300,000 years after when you'd have the Big Bang coming this way. And they picked this up on their antenna, and all of the astronauts who have gone up in these special ships, they have confirmed that a radiation belt does indeed exist. If you look at this picture, you'll notice that you see some large galaxies and there's some stars. But the point we'd like to emphasize, it looks very static, like nothing is moving. But what we'd like to illustrate now, and this was the great discovery of Hubble. And this would be the power, the color shift now that we will see. This is the color shift of all of the galaxies. Now, you'll notice that Hubble used the development of the scientist that was before him, and that would be Isaac Newton. And you'll notice that these are galaxies moving away from the Big Bang Theory. If they are in the red area, that means they're moving further away at a faster rate. And if you could see very clearly here, if you look where these galaxies are in the blue, that means they're moving at a slower rate and they would be closer to our Earth. Now, this picture, I would say for me, is worth its weight in gold because from this picture, Hubble proved that the universe is expanding and nothing in the universe is static. And he helped that from this point on, you'd have very few scientists would be atheists. That doesn't mean they're going to rush to the nearest church and believe in God, but it showed that there is a prime mover or an intelligent source who is controlling the universe. And we don't know what the plan is as to where these galaxies are going, but we know that they're set to a certain plan. Our last picture for the science program will be that at the present time, science has advanced to the extent of duplicating our solar power. So we know how now to make atomic bombs. We also know how to make hydrogen bombs. Our last consideration is going to be about the visible scriptural approach. For he, Christ, was foreknown before the foundation of the world. And this was recorded for us in 1 Peter chapter 1, verse 20. And thou didst love me, that would be Christ, before the foundation of the world. John chapter 17, verse 24. Our consideration now would be on the church. Just as he chose us in him before the foundation of the world, that we should be holy and blameless before him in love. And this is Ephesians chapter 1, verse 4. Who has saved us, that would be the church, and called us, the church class, with a holy calling, not according to our work, but according to his own purpose and grace, which was granted us in Christ Jesus from all eternity, aeonian times, before times age lasting. And this is taken from 2 Timothy chapter 1 from the Diaglot. Our next consideration is the Big Bang. By faith, we understand the ages to have been fitted together by the declaration of God to the end that not out of things appearing should that which is seen have come into existence. And we use the word bara, B-A-R-A. And this is taken from Hebrews, the 11th chapter, verse 3, from the Rotherham. And the creation of bara, that the entirety of the universe, appears seven times in the Old Testament. Our next consideration is, in the beginning, God created the heavens and the earth. And it's interesting to note, this is a very important point, that from the Hebrew, it means hamayim eretz. And that would be that this is a separation from the heavens of the universe and our earth. And we read in Genesis chapter 1, verses 1 to 2, and the earth was formless and void, and darkness was over the surface of the deep, and the Spirit of God was moving over the surface of the waters. And this is also recorded for us in Isaiah chapter 42, verse 5. And we believe that this took place about 4 billion years ago, and we're adding a plus or minus because it's difficult to be exact. Now, the development of our earth begins in Genesis 1, 3. And the development of our earth would be approximately 49,000 years ago. Then we also know that the Logos was the master craftsman, recorded in Colossians chapter 1, verses 15 to 18. Then we have the creation by design, and this proves the existence of God. And this would be in Genesis chapter 1, verses 14 to 18. God set up the universe so we would be able to determine a day, a month, and the year. And the picture of a clock shows design. So God not only designed the universe for us, but man can measure time. And I'd like to read an article that was in the Chicago Tribune. And this is very recent. It's August the 2nd, 2005. Bushbeck's teaching of intelligent design along with evolution. President Bush said Monday that he thinks schools should discuss intelligent design alongside evolution with teachers, students about creation. During a roundtable interview with reporters from five Texas newspapers, Bush declined to detail his views on the origin of the universe, but he said scientists should learn about both theories. I think that part of education is to expose people to different schools of thought. Bush said, "You're asking me whether or not people ought to be exposed to different ideas. The answer is yes. The theory of intelligent design says life on Earth is too complex. I'm going to read that again. Too complex to have developed through evolution, implying that a higher power must have had a hand in creation. Christian conservatives have pushed for the teaching of intelligent design in public schools. Scientists generally have rejected the theory as an attempt to force religion into education." Our next consideration is, how many books of the Bible support the Big Bang Theory? A is 0, B is 1, C is 3, and D is 5. Would anyone like to venture a guess as to how many books of the Bible support the Big Bang Theory? You have to hold your hand up higher. Anyone want to venture a guess? Okay. The answer is 5. It's recorded for us in Job, Psalms, Isaiah, Jeremiah, and Zechariah. And you'll notice on the right, these are the fleeing galaxies that Hubble designed to show that the spectrum really proves that the universe is expanding. What we're going to do now is we're going to consider some of the scriptures that help prove the Big Bang Theory. "It is I who made the earth and created man upon it. I stretched out the heavens with my hands. I ordained all their hosts." And this is recorded for us in Isaiah 45, verse 12. And you'll notice that God stretched out the heavens with his hands. And if you look up stretch from Strong's number 5186, it means to stretch or to spread out. And Hubble proved this point scientifically, and now we want to prove it scripturally. Our next scripture is, "Surely my hand," now this is only one hand, "founded the earth, and my right hand spread out the heavens. When I call to them, they stand together." Isaiah 48:13. And this would almost be like a picture of a super gigantic giant who's stretching out the heavens with either one hand or the other hand. Our next consideration would be that this is the atmosphere as a tent to dwell in. And this is recorded in Isaiah 45:12 and Isaiah 40, verse 22. So God stretched out our heavens so that we would have atmosphere to live in. And this drawing is taken from creation's amazing architect, that if we were to be on top of the highest mountain, you'd have a great deal of difficulty breathing because we are beyond what we would consider our heavens. Next, we're going to emphasize that this is the color shift again that Hubble discovered, which was a key discovery. And so Hubble is scientifically proving that when you see the galaxies in the red, they are far, far away from our planet, and they are moving at a fantastically fast rate. But the ones that would be in the blue part of the spectrum, are closer to us, and that means they're moving at a slower rate. But they all came from the origin of the Big Bang Theory. Our next scripture is, "It is He who made the earth by His power, who established the world by His wisdom. And his understanding, he has stretched out the heavens," recorded for in Jeremiah 10:12. Again we read, "It is he who made the earth by his power, who established the world by his wisdom, and by his understanding he stretched out the heavens." Now before we read, we're going to have three paragraphs from a book written by Hugh Ross. Before we read these paragraphs, I want to make sure that you understand what these three paragraphs are trying to tell you. From these three paragraphs, Hugh Ross is going to say that there's a variation in the verbs and how you use these verbs to show that the stretching is past, like for our Earth's atmosphere. It could be present, and it could also be future. So when you read these definitions, and I read them, try to think in terms that stretching is past, present, and also future. So this is a quote by Dr. Hugh Ross. Several Hebrew verb forms of nata are used in these verses to describe the cosmic stretching. Seven of them, Job 9:8, Psalms 104, verse 2, Isaiah chapter 40, verse 22, chapter 42, verse 5, chapter 44, verse 24, and 51:13, and Zechariah 12:1, make reference to the stretcher out of them, the heavens, and imply four verses, Isaiah 45:12, 48:13, and Jeremiah chapter 10:12, and 51:15, which we just read, employed a form that suggests the stretching of the heavens was in some sense established or completed. A third verb form, that would be the imperfect, is used in combination with the active principal form in Isaiah chapter 40, verse 22. The first part of the verse makes reference to the ongoing expansion of the universe, while the second part of the verse is more literally translated as he had spread them out, the heavens out. The picture presented in Isaiah chapter 40, verse 22, is one of God sitting enthroned above, constantly stretching out the heavens, with the added reference to the past completed acts of God spreading out of the heavens. So in conclusion, we read now, this stretching out, or stretching out of the heavens, as both finished and ongoing, matches the Big Bang theory. According to that model, all the physics, dimensions, laws, constants, and equations of physics were constantly created, designed, and finished so as to guarantee a continual cosmic expansion at exactly the right rates with respect to time to provide eventually for all the needs of human life in particular. So when God stretched out the heavens, he had to consider all of the movements so that we would have life on the earth. Now you'll notice that this refers again to our earth, so the heavens of our earth were stretched out so that we would have enough atmosphere. If you go past 6 miles above the earth, you're on your own for oxygen. You better take it with you because you'll be out of air. Job said, "I have heard of thee by the hearing of the ear, but now my eye sees thee." Job 42:5. We see God's invisible attributes by looking at the visible world he has created. What we're going to do, I'm going to repeat after I explain what this is all about. If you would take the creation of the universe, which would be 15 billion years ago, you have it on this side here, and if you consider our 6,000 years at this end of this line, if you were to condense this line from God's perspective, you're going to condense this line into 1 year, you'll see on this 1 year that this would be the creation of the universe 15 billion years ago. And if we consider our time living right now, and the 15 billion years would represent 1 year, our time of the permission of evil would be 1 minute. So from God's perspective, our permission of evil is a very, very short time. And this is fitting now when we read the scripture. It says, weeping may endure for a night, that's 6,000 years, but joy cometh in the morning, Psalms chapter 30, verse 5. I'm going to mention this again, that this is the beginning of time, about 15 billion years ago, when all the spirit beings were created this way. And this would be the universe that we recognize this way. And we are living here at 6,000 years of the permission of evil. From God's perspective, if we were consider everything to be 1 year, this would be the creation of the universe, and the permission of evil of our complete 7,000 years would be 1 minute. And that's why we feel it's a beautiful scripture. We had this at our flower and garden show, that weeping may endure for a night, but joy comes in the morning. Our last illustration that we'd like you to see, it says, "Lift up your eyes on high and see who has created these stars, the one who leads forth their hosts by number, and he calls them all by name. Because of the greatness of his might and the strength of his power, not one of them is missing." Isaiah 40, verse 26. Now, this is a fantastic promise, even though it relates to stars. This is a fantastic promise to the church class, that we know that if not one of the stars are missing, that the Lord will take care of all of our providential leadings in our lives. And Brother Paul Malley suggested that on your head you have 25,000 hairs, and the Heavenly Father would have knowledge of all of the fine details of your life. So we consider this to be a wonderful promise for the church, that not one of the stars is missing. So certainly our Heavenly Father will take care of the church class. And may the Lord bless these considerations. Mm-hmm.